Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're just doing a quick show because I had a phone call from with the book. You call back in because I explained the last part of it. So, yeah, part of your number.
I would appreciate it.
472. I'm sorry.
515. And also, apparently, Joshua has had experience with this platform. It's not that it's that complicated. I'll explain to you while I'm waiting for Joshua to call back in. Please do, because this is a 30-minute show as well. I have actually pay for premium until the 18th, but I'm trying to consolidate expenses and be careful because I've got some other irons in the fire, and so that's why I haven't continued with the premium service, and I think this might be Joshua calling in, so I'm going to take this call. Thank you for calling Lori and Company in Circle.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? Is this Joshua?
Yes, ma'am. And it is humid and hot. There is nothing to relieve us here in the Midwest, but that's okay.
Oh, I
at
love
least we're in America, right?
Yeah, I agree. We've got that on our side. I mean, just to be born in America is a huge blessing. You know, I think that when you think about the Midwest, like how odd the weather is there between the tornadoes and the droughts and the, you know, cold. My friend's son is up in North Dakota, and you know it's amazing that people even settled there.
Can I throw you a curveball that you might not have considered?
Okay.
If a volcano popped up and started spewing lava anywhere in the Midwest, nobody would be surprised.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they say
out
here.
That's a fair assessment. No.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I it takes a really hardy person, you know, a real pioneer to live there. In California, they say if you don't like the weather, stick around, it'll change. But it hasn't changed as far as, you know, big tsunamis and El Ninos and all
in
that.
California?
We haven't had that in a while.
No, we have this saying in Illinois, if you move anywhere else, you can probably survive because you've experienced pretty much everything here.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I remember going to Ohio when I was young, and for whatever reason, the water, when it came out of the tap, smelled like sulfur. Did you have that problem there?
No, I'm not from Michigan or Ohio. I'm from Illinois.
Yeah, I know. I just thought maybe it was a Midwest thing. Anyway.
that was a Michigan joke.
Oh, okay. I went over my head, I think. Our daughter has friends in Chicago, so that's interesting that you're mentioning that. You mentioned earlier on the other show that you had some information about job training.
Yes, absolutely.
Would you like to share that?
Yes, absolutely. No, a lot of kids are coming up in high school, and this is actually something that made me drop out of high school in 2006. Someone came up to me like, you want to go to college? And I was like, nah. A lot of the kids that I was around couldn't read or write at this, you know, the level. And, you know, even though I was kind of excelling, I was kind of like, yeah, I could go to community college, maybe go to university at some point. I think that it's very important that kids understand that there are certification courses that they could take to make $50,000 to $80,000 a year. Or they could go to, I don't know, you want to be an electrician, you want to be a plumber, you want to be a carpenter. There are a lot of different ways you can make these things happen. It has nothing to do with college. And it pays way better, and you will have so much less student debt. And I think that's very important for kids to understand, is that there are, like, dozen different options outside of that stuff, a pipe fitter. Sorry, ma'am.
Do you have a link on that? Do you have a link on
that,
Sasha?
That's the beauty of it? No, absolutely not. No, the beauty of it is that it's actually so widespread. There are so many different institutions that will provide these things. There are so many ways to make this happen. It's not one individual. I'm not going to promote one thing.
Okay.
I'm saying college is an option. If you want a piece of paper saying you know something, also, you can go get a certificate program. You can go to a trade school. It's also a piece of paper saying you know something. It costs less money, and you're going to make probably more money and not have to pay as much in student loans. But what
so
do
if,
I know?
If you're a high school, if you're getting out of high school, what would you say to a person? Like, go to a plumber and say, hey, you want to have an apprentice? Or
yes.
Find out about a certification program through a local community college, or how would you point them?
No. See, that's the problem. That's the problem today, is that yes, when you're in high school, if you're in your senior year, your junior year, go talk to plumbers, go talk to electricians, whatever you want to do, go talk to them and ask them if there's an apprenticeship program that might be supported through the local community college if you have it near you. But yes, they will take you on. If you were actually committed to being an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter, whatever it is, if you actually want to do that with your life, that's fine. They will take you on. The problem is that the high schools keep pushing people to college, and they keep studying nonsense that's going to cost them $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and they never end up going anywhere with it. They don't even get jobs that have anything to do with the degrees they come out of college with, and they just end up spending the rest of their lives paying off the tuition, the college debt. I would probably.
No, I agree with you. Our children went to one child went to college because of her academic achievements. And so she got a scholarship, and we paid for some, but she, you know, had a lot of help. The other kid went to college because he went to a state college, and it kept his expenses lower. He too was a very, you know, he didn't even try to get scholarships because he was, you know, not into it.
Yeah,
but,
that local discount. Yeah.
Yeah. And both of them have done extraordinarily well, but I also think that what you're saying is correct, that imagine how it is for a lot of these young people. No wonder they voted for Obama and Biden, because they think they're going to get their education paid for. And how is that fair to the people who did pay for their education before Biden got in office? But besides that, you're making taxpayers pay for your education, because it's not that you're getting a free ride from the government. The government is going to make us pay for it in another way. So,
no, do you know why that concept is the most evil freaking thing that's ever been introduced in American politics ever? you're saying that a bunch of people who went to college, the entire purpose of going to college is to get a higher paying job. You're telling a bunch of people all across America that they have to actually fund the degrees that these privileged kids got in college. I'm not even saying they're super privileged. I'm not talking about Yale and Harvard. I'm talking about the University of Arizona. I'm talking about any college degree that these kids have gotten. You're saying that you went to community college or you didn't go to college at all. You dropped out of high school. You're working your butt off, and you have to pay off with your tax money these kids' degrees?
Right. I mean, it's really an affront. I mean, it used to be, Joshua, that wealthy kids went to college, and then the rest were just worker bees. But now you have people who can't even put a sentence together that have a college degree, and you have people like me that, because my kids were in college at the same time, I wasn't able to finish my degree when I finally got back to it after having children. So, you know, it's really outrageous, and that's part of the reason I have to get the link for Mike Rowe's website where he's posting jobs that are good-paying jobs. And you know,
you know that he actually started a competition where he's going to give out $1 million. He's done this for like several years, where he has crews come in different aspects, and he is happy to hand out $1 million for the crew that proves that they actually are working hard and doing things. He's done this for like 4 or 5 years now, and nobody talks about this.
Talking about it, I saw him on Glenn Beck. On Glenn Beck's show, I heard him talking about it, but I hadn't heard anything more, and I didn't remember to go looking for it. So I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know it was $1 million. That seems like a lot of hooch. That's a lot of money.
That's the thing, that when you're talking about a startup, for what he's talking about, a startup in, I don't know, a ditch digger job, like you're starting a company that does ditch digger stuff, it's going to cost like $600,000 to start it up, but he's going to help you on the other $400,000 for buying the vans and helping you get around. But that's the whole thing. People don't appreciate actual manual labor anymore. Nobody appreciates the fact that you have to slaughter the pig for bacon to be placed on the plate. I don't know what we're doing here anymore, man.
No, don't lose hope. All right, I remember when Jimmy Carter was in office. I was about your age, you know, pretty young, and there wasn't any work where I was, and I was literally going to work at a farm picking strawberries because I thought it was better than not having any income, right? And then I was waiting for a job offer to come, and you know, did that in the meantime. And that is the most horrible, back-breaking, uncomfortable, you know, boring job I ever had. And I remember thinking, like, I'm going to get another job no matter what, even if I have to move away. And I ended up moving away to where there were more jobs, down to Princeton, New Jersey. But anyway, the point is that you have a great point that there, if you don't know about it, though, you're not going to do that. You're just going to say, oh, I can't find any work, and live at home with your mom and dad or whatever, and you know, just basically be a loser and not have a successful life. And it's important to do stuff that you feel good about and that you can make a difference in the world. Otherwise, you don't have a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, then, you know, what are you doing here? So that's the other part of it, is that if people can, I've been working on this for a long time, if you can just figure out what it is that you think you want to do and then start, you know, going in that way, in that direction. So if you're a person that's naturally good at fixing stuff, then, you know, that's go talk to the local repair shop, you know, and see if you can become an apprentice as a mechanic, you know, that kind of stuff. So your point
you're
is good, Joshua.
You're talking about normal people negotiating with their ability to do things in modernity.
Yeah, but I also think that's what we're going to get to, too, is that it might be get to the point where we have to do bartering, where you fix this and I'll give you that type of thing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that,
okay,
yes, Yes, the absolute, the only way that you can actually advance anything in any culture in any city in America is if people are able to have communication with each other. The only way the youth are going to be able to learn anything is to negotiate, and we aren't doing that today. We're teaching youth that they need a college degree to even be in the conversation. And I promise you that is not the case.
No, I agree with you. I've taken college-level courses, and I, you know, won't take that long to finish things up, but I don't have the degree, and I feel I can hold my own with most people, except when it comes to probably I would have trouble with staying calm with
like a nuclear physicist or something. I don't know. This is just such a silly game we're playing right now. I think that it's actually terrible and it's very sad. I think that the only way that our kids, all of our kids in the future, kids that exist today that are like below the age of 5, and the kids in the future, you know, if I'm going to have kids and stuff, yeah, this is how you treat them. Be good
but
at
why
something.
Why are you the way you are, Joshua? Is it because of your parents? Because of your grandparents? I mean, why are you normal?
I'm normal. Okay, that's the first time I've heard that in my life. I volunteered for a security unit in Africa. It didn't go well, and then I came back to America. So coming back to America, yeah, I kissed the ground, and I think that we should probably be way better today than we were yesterday, and hope to be better tomorrow than we were today. No,
were you
ma'am.
Military contractor? Oh. Well,
I was
a
contractor,
missionary?
Not a military contractor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know there, you know, I know I've come across some contractors, put it that way.
We are not the nicest people, but neither are soldiers.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I ended up going forward with this is because of my brother. He was in the Coast Guard, and my dad put him in the Coast Guard because it was at the end of Vietnam, and he was worried about my son, about my brother going to Nam, and so that's how he got into the Coast Guard, because it, you know, was fulfilling that obligation without being drafted. And it was a great experience for my brother. He got to see Alaska and Michigan, and he was stationed on the East Coast, Sandy Hook, New Jersey. And he met people that he became lifelong friends with, and you know, he became a quartermaster and chief, and you know, he enjoyed it. But if you have the military being filled up with people that don't want to be there, like if you have a draft, you have the military being filled up with people that are actually anti-America, they could put you in a lot of danger. And I think that's what happened to that famous football player. His name's not out of my head, but he signed up after 9/11, gave up his, you know, cushy and
paid football job. Talking about the Cardinals quarterback.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either. He was the
QB1
for the Arizona Cardinals. He went over to Afghanistan, and he got supposedly killed by friendly fire. And they lied about it.
Right. It was that I think he had seen that what they were doing there with the opium trade, and also some, I mean, that's a whole another subject for another day. But I mean, that the fact that I can't remember that fella's name, but everyone knows George Floyd's name, pisses me off. I mean, you know, that fella that gave up his life to go after 9/11, who felt compelled to go over there and serve, and then he gets killed by basically the scumbags in our own government, and they pass it off as friendly fire. I mean, another thing that people don't talk about is that when our soldiers came back from Iraq, Obama had Islamic mullahs basically giving curses and you know, pretending they're praying for the bodies that are in the casket, and he was actually, you know, letting non, well, people that were giving them curses, okay, because I know somebody who knows Farsi, and so he listened, and he was like, oh, that's interesting. So that's the I don't know if you know about the Aaron Bond.
I know Farsi and Hindi. Yeah, I know about the feuds. I'm pretty well aware of that.
So,
in 2019, I actually snuck a family out of Jeddah into Cairo because my friend, she's a female, she was speaking out against the Saudi government. So yeah, no, I'm aware of that.
But
a lot of money
American
to
people
that.
Aren't. Young people, people in college, people even in high school, they're not listening to, you know, maybe they are, but they're not listening to shows that are discussing this, what we just talked about. They're listening instead to all this, you know, mind-numbing stuff that's made to distract them and make them think about everything else but, you know, world politics and culture and education or being informed, being well-read. So that's what I think it's like such a monumental problem to try to change the culture that we let get this way because we thought that normal people were in charge. But the normal people aren't in charge. The scum of the earth are in charge right now.
Yeah, I have to disagree with that immediately because I was not in charge 70 years ago when this shit started. I apologize, a curse on your show. I was not trying to do that. No, I'm not going to take the brunt of the responsibility when it comes to this nonsense.
Do you agree that you thought things were under control and didn't know that they weren't? Like a lot of the stuff.
No. I'm Irish. I'm forever distrustful of everything all the time.
I'm part Irish too. Maybe that's where I got it from.
Yeah, there you go. There's your distrust of things. Yeah, it's like you distrust things. Yeah, I know. That's the making you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. It's the same thing as if you were Jewish. You don't trust things.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
everyone's trying to
kill
you all the time.
That's funny. I when this first started, I remember putting out a tweet saying "Tribe of Dan, let's unite, let's calling all Tribe of Dan," and I didn't even know why I said that. And that came out later when I was doing some research that the Tribe of Dan was actually the ones that were, you know, the real kick-ass ones. They're from Scotland and Ireland.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, no. Hold on, I'm Clan Johnstone from Annandale. I literally got the tattoo on my arm. It's Nunquam non paratus. It literally means never not prepared. So yeah, that's something interesting
to take into account. What does Semper Fi mean? Always prepared.
Semper Fi is all for one.
Oh! I don't know why.
Semper Fidelis.
I didn't know. I guess I never thought much about it. I just thought it meant, you know, like always ready. So what you have is a tattoo. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. No, it's my family motto. It was made up long before I was ever born. Nunquam non paratus. It's a Latin term. It means never not prepared or always prepared.
Interesting. You know, my big brother was I have a couple of big brothers, but the one of them was learned Latin and went to Drexel, and my husband actually learned Latin, but he's forgotten it. But it's interesting that you speak those languages because we need linguists, and that's kind of why communicate, because the more people that can know what's going on, the quicker we get all on the same page. And that's one thing about my site, blog.laurabella. It has a translator on it, and so does Getter, GETTR.com. I mean, like a, you know, not a, an actual person that's a translator, but like a translation device built into it. And I think that's been helpful in getting everyone more unified because we don't have the language barrier. You speak Hindi
and Farsi? Hindi and Farsi. Yeah, no, I got a funny story about translations. I live in a city that has a major American university, and they were trying to translate 14 different languages to place on their on their T-shirts when it came to the local repertoire. And they messed everything up, and 15 different groups of people came out and were like, what the hell is this? Like, what are you saying? And then they brought a Chinese girl on the screen, and they're like, that's not what it means. And I'm like, you're from China. You're lucky to be here. Why are you being angry? Like, it's just astonishing to me. I will never understand people. These people are crazy. I just can't comprehend how you can come from terrible places and come
and
here
want to do the
and
same
act
thing
offended.
Yeah.
How
I
can
hear
you come
you
from
you
a
talking
terrible place? Yes, ma'am.
I'm down to my last minute, Joshua, but please call back again. I've been putting the shows on different channels, but they're all, you know, it's all me, unless I can hire more people. So,
you don't have to pay me much. If you is that a job offer? You don't have to pay me much.
Well, I would like to have a guest host, that's for sure, and someone that could take over. But I right now I don't have a big salary to offer. But I'm hoping someday in the near future I will be able to do that. And you'd be on my list there, Joshua, because you have good experience and you're well spoken. So, if you want to give me a message,
everybody heard that, right? I'm well spoken. Okay, yes, ma'am.
But I definitely, you know, definitely call back in, and definitely be like to have you as a co-host, if nothing else. I'm hoping that things will get turned around pretty quickly, as far as having some income, but. I'm finding I'm being rejected by sponsors because they don't like seeing President Trump on my site, and they don't like seeing some of the information I put out there.
You're not talking to the right sponsors. Here, if you can send me a text, I can send you my email, and then we can better communicate there. Yeah, I have different sponsors that might be more beneficial for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I will do that. And when you see the number come in, there's a lot of sevens in it, and it's 877 is the beginning part of it. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Joshua, and come back again or call back again, and I'll send you a text. All right. Be bold, people. Be brave, and we'll all be free. God bless America so we can bless the world. Amen.
Blog Talk Radio.